there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, 1 hour of uncensored news, views, and commentary. Welcome to the program. I'm Rick Wiles. Former FBI counterterrorism agent John Guandolo will join me in 10 minutes to discuss the Islamic conversion of John Brennan, the CIA nominee of Marxist Muslim Barack Obama. Now, True News reports the news that CNN, Fox News, and BBC are not permitted to report. And that's why we need your financial support this week as we approach the end of the month. Please donate online at truenews.com or send your gift to P.O. Box 690069, Vero Beach, Florida 32969. We're willing to report the truth. Are you willing to support the truth? Become a True News partner in 2013. The fight is on for the souls of billions of people. I want to thank those of you who prayed for the success of our executive committee meeting last Friday and Saturday. All of the committee members, except one, were present. Brad Med even drove down to Florida from Canada. Friday was a general business meeting and a discussion of the future of True News and the vision of Flowing Streams. Saturday was focused on the availability of new technology to expand the reach of this ministry. And we were very blessed by the attendance of three individuals on Saturday with extensive experience in TV production and marketing and operations. And we got a sneak peek of the new True News website that is under development. I can tell you the Holy Spirit was present in the two-day meeting. There was harmony, consensus, and wisdom in how to strengthen and expand True News and how to launch Flowing Streams as a companion service. And I believe you're going to be very pleased in the months ahead when you see the results of the decisions that were made. God willing, True News will get bigger and better in providing essential news and information for Christians to stay alert, and Flowing Streams will provide the spiritual nourishment for the saints of God in the days ahead. Susan and I were very pleased with the outcome of the meetings. Again, a big thank you to everybody who covered the meetings in prayer. It really made a difference. Now, the news headlines. A bombshell report from Rome has rocked the Vatican. La Repubblica, the left-wing Italian newspaper, published an explosive article that claims the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI was connected to the discovery of a secret network of homosexual priests inside the Vatican. The newspaper said some of the gay priests were being blackmailed by shadowy forces outside the Roman Catholic Church. The Italian paper said the Pope made the decision to resign on December 17, the day he received a dossier compiled by three cardinals delegated to investigate last year's scandal known as VatiLeaks. Last May, the Pope's butler was arrested and charged with stealing and leaking private papal correspondence that depicted the Vatican as a seething hotbed of intrigue, corruption, and infighting. According to La Repubblica, the dossier, comprising two volumes of almost 300 pages bound in red, had been consigned to a safe in the papal apartment and would be delivered to the Pope's successor upon his election. La Repubblica reported that the investigation reveals that there is a faction within the Vatican whose members are united by sexual orientation. The gay lobby in the Vatican includes powerful members of the Roman Catholic Church, allegedly organized sex romps throughout Rome. According to the DailyBeast.com website, several members of that gay lobby are now being blackmailed by male prostitutes who allegedly possess compromising photographs of some priests. The newspaper said the Cardinals described a number of factions, including the one I just mentioned earlier, as united by sexual orientation. In an apparent quotation from the report, La Repubblica said some Vatican officials had been subject to external influence, which of worldly nature. And the newspaper said it was a clear reference to blackmail. It quoted a source very close to those who wrote the Cardinal's report as saying, everything revolves around the non-observance of the sixth and seventh commandments. Now, La Repubblica said the Cardinal's report identified a series of meeting places in and around Rome, including a villa outside the city, a sauna in a Roman suburb, a beauty parlor, and a former university residence that was in use by an Italian archbishop. The Vatican denounced the newspaper's allegations as an attempt to smear the Catholic Church and to influence the selection of the next pope. Matters were made worse for the Vatican, however, when Great Britain's most senior Roman Catholic priest announced his resignation on Monday after allegations were published that he behaved inappropriately toward four male priests in the 1980s. Cardinal Keith O'Brien, leader of the Catholic Church in Scotland, also announced he will not attend the conclave next month to select the new pope. A bipartisan alliance of several powerful U.S. senators are working behind the scenes to enact a law that would force every American to carry a biometric national identification card as a requirement to work in the United States of America. The law would require all American workers to be biometrically scanned to prove the person's legal eligibility to work in the USA. Work on the bill is hush-hush in Washington. Among those thought to be behind the biometric scanning scheme are John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Charles Schumer. Arizona Senator Jake Flake said that he is open to the idea of a biometric national ID card. Meanwhile, Florida's Marco Rubio and Colorado Senator Michael Bennett refused to answer questions about the biometric scheme. And sovereign man Simon Black was on True News last week. The very next day, he discovered that Viamat, one of the largest companies in the world that transfers and stores gold, has decided to dump all U.S. citizens as customers because of new regulations from the IRS and the Treasury Department and Homeland Security. The company said the cost of complying with new federal regulations is simply too much to bear. Therefore, it's necessary to kick out Americans as customers. Once again, Mr. Obama is doing what I warned in 2008 that he would do if he got in the White House. He would cut off the exit so Americans with wealth would be unable to escape the USA before the communists seize the wealth. And if you've not woke up to the reality that there is a revolution underway, you are really asleep. This is a real revolution that Mr. Obama, the Marxist Muslim, is leading in this country. I mentioned the secretive work in Washington on the new immigration law that may require all Americans to be biometrically scanned in order to get a paycheck. Well, there is another bill in Washington that you need to watch also. Dianne Feinstein's bill will set up a mandatory federal gun registration database. Now, you don't need me to tell you where this is going. If you plan to rebel against the biometric scanning scheme, well, they're ready for your rebellion because they're going to have a list of every gun owner in the country. Let's take a break. Former FBI agent John Guandolo will be here when I return to tell you how the next CIA director is a secret Muslim. Welcome to Barack Obama's Nightmare. You're listening to True News.
Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
This is Max McLean. Is it enough to listen to the Bible? Listen to the Bible from James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. From James chapter 1, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
The Listener's Bible, narrated by Max MacLean, may be a great way to help you devote more time in God's Word. Now you can download the Bible directly to your computer. To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
You're listening to True News, your alternative source for global news, analysis, and commentary. I'm Rick Wiles. Two very important nominations by Barack Obama are before the U.S. Senate for ratification. Former Senator Chuck Hagel is slated to be Secretary of Defense. Mr. Hagel is committed to the Global Zero Plan to eliminate America's nuclear arsenal. Now, that's an unusual position to be held by a man who wants to run the nation's military. The other key position is CIA director. Mr. John Brennan was nominated to replace General Petraeus. Mr. Brennan has made some very troubling comments in the past regarding his views on Islam, terrorism, and jihadism. Mr. Brennan doesn't use the word jihadist. He also doesn't use the term war on terror. So is there more to John Brennan than we know? Former FBI agent John Guandolo says there's a lot of troubling things about John Brennan the American people don't know. Mr. Guandolo served in U.S. Marine Corps. He later joined the FBI in 1996. He served as the FBI liaison to the U.S. Capitol Police, investigating threats to the president, vice president, and key members of the U.S. government. After September 11, 2001, he was assigned to the Counterterrorism Division of the FBI's Washington Field Office, where he developed expertise in the Muslim Brotherhood, Islamic doctrine, and the global Islamic movement. He currently works privately in providing advice and training to law enforcement officers and government officials around the world. And Mr. Guandolo is on the telephone right now to discuss these allegations about Mr. Brennan. John, welcome to True News.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Well, John, first of all, this radio program, going back to our roots in 99 in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, we were talking about the jihadist movement infiltrating the United States of America. I used to openly talk about the Holy Land Foundation, and we talked about other jihadist training cells that were inside the USA. And this, you know, this was several years before 9/11. So you know, we have been, and I'm talking about our audience, we've been very aware that there is an infiltration campaign underway, and we have felt all along that there are certain people in the U.S. government in high positions that are allowing certain things to happen because there was no other explanation for it. So now here we are in 2013, and the man nominated, well, the two men are going to the two of the most sensitive, most important positions in U.S. government, Secretary of Defense and CIA director. Mr. Hagel wants to get rid of all of our nukes, and Mr. Brennan doesn't want to say jihad or war on terror. And then you came along with some really interesting pieces of information that helps us to put this puzzle together. What have you learned about John Brennan?
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share. I think it's important for your listeners to know that inside the U.S. government, the training program that I put together in 2006 was the first and only one of its kind that discussed the Muslim Brotherhood movement in the United States and Islamic doctrine, Sharia, Islamic law. And I don't say that as a pat on my own back. I say it because under the direction of John Brennan, training inside the government that deals with the issues both the Holy Land Foundation trial, which you were referencing, as well as jihadi doctrine as it relates to Islamic law, and the Muslim Brotherhood movement in general. All of the training inside the DOD, FBI, and DHS has been shut down under Mr. Brennan's direction. And this is significant. As you mentioned in the opening, he has given direction, and now it's DHS policy as well as FBI policy that you can't use certain words. And as we look at that, so how can that be or why is that? I think three things that are very disconcerting to me about Mr. Brennan and his nomination. The first is he has been directly responsible, and under his direction, known terrorists and Muslim Brotherhood operatives have been given access to the most senior levels of government, to the National Security Council, the White House, and in other government agencies. Specifically, so your listeners don't think this is just some blanket toss out here, is Nihad Awad, the one of the executive leaders of Hamas in the United States, under the guise of the organization called the Council on American Islamic Relations, has been given direct access under Mr. Brennan's direction to the National Security Council, National Security Staffs, as well as access to the Hill, Capitol Hill, members of Congress, both on the Senate and House side.
You're telling me you're saying that a man connected to Hamas,
yes,
has direct access.
He is Hamas.
And
he has
direct access to the National Security Council at the White House?
Yes. He has been present under the direction of Mr. Brennan, present to brief and speak with national security staffs and others, and has access to Capitol Hill regularly. And this is, so Mr. Brennan, in his current position, is the counterterrorism advisor to the President of the United States. And so the question is, why isn't that being addressed, and why is he not only allowing it, he's helping facilitate it when it comes to these people coming to the White House? Imam Mohammed Majid, who is the leader of the Adams Center, an Islamic center in Sterling, Virginia, as well as the president of the Islamic Society of North America, which is the largest Muslim Brotherhood entity, and in the HLF trial, the evidence, a large number of documents and testimonial evidence revealed that ISMA is not only the largest Muslim Brotherhood entity in North America, it is a financial support entity for Hamas, Hamas being a designated terrorist organization. Well, their president, Mohammed Majid, under the direction of Mr. Brennan, has been given access to the Secretary of State, to her staff, to the National Security Council, to the National Security Staff, and the Deputy National Security Advisor to the President, who was the likely nominee to be Chief of Staff for the President, Dennis McDonough, actually went to the Adams Center with senior FBI and DHS officials over a year ago and praised Imam Majid and the Adams Center for their great patriotic outreach work inside the government and inside the community. This is all under the direction of Mr. Brennan as the senior CT advisor to the President of the United States. This is a catastrophic failure, and I would argue, and I'm not even going to argue that Mr. Brennan knows that these guys are bad guys, but if we're going to use the argument that he's ignorant, then that immediately disqualifies him for being the director of Central Intelligence.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If ignorance is the explanation, then why is he being nominated to run the Central Intelligence Agency?
Exactly. So there are only two options here. He's either ignorant of the facts that have been entered into evidence in not only the Holy Land Foundation trial, because there is a massive amount of evidence that exists, both from the 1993 Hamas meeting in Philadelphia that the FBI surveilled, and we have the recordings that the FBI recorded, meetings in the meeting rooms, telephone conversations. They did surveillance. All of that evidence was entered into the Holy Land Foundation trial. We have a massive amount of documentary, recording videos, photographs, testimonial evidence that went into HLF. Much of it that came from the FBI raid in 2004 in Virginia. I mean, this is not just speculation. These are facts. These individuals are leaders of Muslim Brotherhood organizations, Hamas entities or Hamas support entities, which is a terrorist organization. And they're being given access to the leaders, and I'm not even saying the senators and congressmen who are meeting with these people should know better, but if they have a CT advisor to the president saying, yeah, this is good, or facilitating these meetings, then he is either ignorant of this, which makes him unqualified, or he's aware of this and he's still doing it, and that's criminal.
John, when, you know, a few months ago, before your allegations were made public, you know, when I'd heard various things about John Brennan, I read these quotes, I listened to them myself online, to the recordings of his statements where he was saying, you know, we shouldn't use the word jihadist, we shouldn't be talking about war and terror. And I thought, okay, is he trying to be politically correct so he fits in the Obama administration? But when you surfaced, you put a whole new light on this, because it's not political correctness. It's not just Mr. Brennan saying the right thing so he fits in a far-left political administration in Washington. You take it a lot farther. You're actually saying that Mr. Brennan may possibly be a Muslim himself.
Yes, I'm actually not saying he may possibly be a Muslim. He's converted to Islam. And
you feel certain that John Brennan converted to Islam?
Yes. And here's there are two pieces to that part of this. Is the first is, as I shared on the radio interview that broke the story over 2 weeks ago, is that while in Saudi Arabia serving as the chief of station for the CIA, which is the senior intelligence representative for the United States, Mr. Brennan converted to Islam. And it's not just that he converted to Islam, because that alone, one could argue, doesn't necessarily disqualify a guy. But I argue, because of the fact that individuals who were on the ground in Saudi Arabia at the time, who have direct knowledge of this, that I know and have spoken directly with and trust and are still in government service, and so they will not come forward and testify openly, either in the media or in the Congress, have said that they know this is true because they observed it. Now, that means that Mr. Brennan said the Shahada, which converts one to Islam. So that's the first part. That is true. However, I, as a colleague, and I've now actually heard it, and some people have said it in the media, I do believe that John Brennan is a very malleable individual. And I think he's the kind of individual that is easily wrapped up. And I actually heard somebody last week on an interview saying that, you know, if it had been the Hare Krishnas that he had fallen in with, he probably would have converted to that. Or if it were somebody else, you know. And I don't know if that's true, but I do know that based on observing his behavior and his character, I do believe that he's easily manipulated. And the fact that his conversion in Saudi Arabia, according to the individuals that were on the ground and had direct knowledge of it, say that the individuals that were speaking with him, that befriended him, were members of the Saudi intelligence and as well as Saudi government officials, that puts a very different light on it when you're the chief of station for the CIA, because that conversion to Islam came as a culmination of a recruitment operation by the Saudi government, Saudi intelligence.
John, let's put this in perspective. Let's go back to, say, 1940. And, of course, we didn't have the CIA in 1940, but let's just say that a high-level military intelligence officer was stationed in Tokyo, and the Japanese Emperor's intelligence division led him in a conversion to Shintoism.
Yes,
that's the parallel.
We would not have allowed that individual to maintain a clearance after that.
That's right, because at that point they were compromised.
Right.
And so you're saying that there are people in U.S. intelligence positions who actually witnessed Mr. Brennan conversing with members of the Saudi intelligence agencies and being led in a conversion to Islam, and yet
yes.
Nobody did anything about it.
No, and here are a couple important points. Is that means that necessarily he's compromised, and again, I want to be real clear here, and I know the big story in those that follow the Islamic movement in the United States is that Mr. Brennan converted to Islam, and I understand that's a story. I get that. I'm not naive about that. But to me, from a counterintelligence perspective and as a from a professional in the national security realm, the bigger story is that it was the Saudi intelligence and Saudi government officials, which means members of the men that represented the king himself, that brought Mr. Brennan to Islam. And Mr. Brennan may even think, well, yeah, I just said the Shahada. Because it was the right thing to do. But what he doesn't understand is that then compromises him. And what was sad for me, or certainly disappointing, is that in the United States, the media coverage of what I reported has been, to some extent, even by normally objective media outlets, not covered well. And actually, Al Arabiya, an Arabic media outlet, gave it some of the most objective coverage that this could be real, this could be possible. And they just kind of went down the facts, whereas certainly the left, what I call the progressive media or left-wing media, whatever you want to call it, in this country immediately dismisses it when they don't look at the facts of three key things that I've been sharing. One, that he's given access to these terrorists and senior Muslim Brotherhood leaders. I gave a couple examples, and there are many more examples. Number two, that his work as the chief of station for the CIA in Riyadh ended up in a recruitment effort by the Saudi intelligence that ended up with Mr. Brennan converting to Islam. And again, I'm not saying I know the seriousness of his heart or his intent when he took the Shahada, but it doesn't matter. I mean, that is a compromise, and it shows he's easily manipulated. And do we want that kind of a guy as our CIA director? And then the third thing, which we haven't really even touched on, is when he does talk about the enemy and the threat in this war, he only talks about Al-Qaeda. He doesn't understand the unity between the Islamic nations, the violent jihadi organizations like Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and others, nor does he understand. He believes the Muslim Brotherhood is a friendly, not a hostile organization, despite all of the facts pointing to exactly opposite what he says. As we look at this in totality, it's just a catastrophic leadership failure, but I believe that John Brennan isn't the problem. John Brennan is a symptom of a much, much greater problem. When you look at what you know about Holy Land Foundation is more than what most DHS and FBI agents know about Holy Land, because it's not being taught in the broad spectrum inside the government of the analysts, agents, and individuals at the state and federal level who need to understand the implications of the Holy Land Foundation, which are massive. I mean, massive. It really opened up the implications of the Holy Land Foundation trial are huge, and they reveal this massive Muslim Brotherhood movement and the fact that there is a a significant Hamas presence in the United States that's active, and it's not just a bunch of guys carrying AK-47s on their backs. These are individuals who are working to destroy the United States from within, as well as support violent jihadi operations here and primarily overseas.
John, last October, I interviewed Waleed Shobat, and he had transcribed an interview on Al Jazeera TV in which they interviewed Musa Obama, Barack Obama's cousin in Kenya. And Musa was openly bragging and talking about his trip to Riyadh, and actually his pilgrimage to Mecca. And he took President Obama's grandmother with him, known as Mama Sarah. And he said that, they went to Riyadh. They were greeted by the royal family. They were treated as basically as heads of state. They were given royal welcome in Saudi Arabia, and they were taken to Mecca. And then he said that the Saudis, grandmother, Sarah Obama, established the Mama Sarah Obama Children's Foundation. And I think you can connect the dots where the money is coming from. And, this money is, this foundation is doling out grants to people, to Muslims around the world, including the United States, to study Islam. Now, here's another connection, right? The Obama family in Africa being transported to Riyadh, being greeted as heads of state by the Saudi royal family, being taken to Mecca, and then a foundation is established. And then I think about Barack Obama bowing before the king of Saudi Arabia. And there's a pattern forming here. And I am of the growing suspicion that Saudi Arabia is the hidden hand behind a lot of things happening in the United States that we can't explain, including how a man with no identification, no pass, named Barack Obama, rises from obscurity and becomes president of the United States, and you can't get anyone to even demand that he produce a simple identification document. And I've said on this program for over 4 years, there are powers far higher, far greater than we can understand that are covering for this man. Some type of operation is in place. There are intelligence agencies involved here that have put Barack Obama in power, and there is a trail leading back to Saudi Arabia. So now we have John Brennan nominated to go to the CIA, and you're telling me that when he was working in a high-level position in Saudi Arabia for the U.S. government in an intelligence position, that he was recruited by Saudi intelligence and led into a conversion of Islam. This is frightening information, John. When you put it all together and you start connecting the dots, it looks to me like Saudi Arabia is running a major espionage and infiltration campaign of the United States of America. And this Saudi connection goes back to the Bush family. I'm not going to be, one-sided here. I mean, it goes all the way back to Papa Bush, number 41. There's been Saudi oil money flowing in Washington for a long, long time. As an FBI agent, how are you connecting the dots? What are you seeing a pattern here that troubles you?
I believe Saudi Arabia is it's not what I believe. I want to go back to the facts. The facts are we have testimony before the U.S. Congress back to the 90s where we know that billions of dollars are being spent by Saudi Arabia to support to the tune of billions of dollars to support not only the global Islamic movement, but jihadi organizations to include Al-Qaeda. And Al-Qaeda front groups. And we have had both State Department as well as other officials testify to that before the U.S. Congress and certain, like the intelligence committees and others. So that's the first part. This is not a speculation. You are dead on about Saudi Arabia. But the influence operation and the counterintelligence operations and their strategies are unbelievable. I mean, they are truly amazing. The Saudis have a large operation in D.C. to bring members of Congress over to Saudi Arabia on junkets to show them how moderate and upscale and modern Saudi Arabia is, and it's nothing more than, you know, taking them over to the Potemkin villages. I mean, it's showing them, you know, how great Saudi Arabia is and how moderate they are, and it's a complete sham. But they're spending a huge amount of money to fly these members of Congress over and do it. At the state level, you have Turkey in all 50 states, at least 48 out of the 50 states that I've investigated, where you have Turkish Muslim Brotherhood organizations in the states taking members of the state legislatures to Turkey to show them how moderate Turkey is and how nice Islam is, and that Turkey is not, you know, any of it. But these are Muslim Brotherhood organizations that are doing it. And I've briefed a number of state legislators and the leadership in the House and the Senate side of state legislators in a number of states about this, as well as members of Congress on the Hill. But when you talk about their influence, it's amazing if you think about it, that on 9/11, 15 of the 19 of the hijackers were Saudis. At the time of 9/11, on 9/11, September 11, 2011, the legal attaché and the assistant legal attaché for the FBI in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, were both special agents who are Muslim. Now, is that a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that then for months the investigations in Saudi Arabia were held up, leads were not covered, and things were not, and there's been no real repercussions?
And while American bodies were still in the rubble, and the World Trade Center towers were still smoking, and the Pentagon was still smoking, and there were still victims buried, the FBI was rounding up members of the Bin Laden family all over the United States and escorting them out of the United States on a charter jet.
Yeah, and again, that's a fact.
Yes.
That is a fact. That happened. And so the question is, how does that happen? That the members of the family of the guy who actually planned, orchestrated 9/11 get escorted out of the country while Americans are grounded. Our planes are grounded. I mean, you can go on with this. And this is not a conspiracy theory. These are facts that we know. And what I want to, and this is an important part, again, for your audience. When we talk about, for instance, two Muslims who are FBI agents, I do not believe, and I've never briefed and I've never said, that all Muslims are a threat to the United States. I've not said that. There are individuals who self-identify themselves as Muslims who do not want to impose Islamic law. They don't want to wage jihad in any form against the United States, the West, or non-Muslim regimes, or Muslim regimes that are not adhering to Islamic law. However, these two particular agents I'm talking about, one I had direct contact with, extremely problematic, and in my professional opinion, was batting for the other side. The other agent, who I have never met, was also the agent who refused, in a large Hamas case, prior to 9/11, refused to wear a wire, a recording device, in an undercover capacity against another Muslim, because it was a violation of Islamic law. Now, these are real issues of national security. These are not personal religious issues. And we need to understand that when we're talking about the entire threat we face is not a threat from terrorism. This is not a counterterrorism issue. You just said it exactly right. It's an espionage and a counterintelligence issue. That's what this is. And so when they can get people into positions, not just because they're Muslims, but because they are individuals who are Muslim but who ascribe and support the Muslim Brotherhood ideology of the forced imposition of Islamic law on everybody. So there's no, this is not about a religious belief. This is about imposing law on American citizens in direct contradiction, not only of our federal statutes, but of the Constitution itself. And the people in law enforcement and intelligence community and military who swear an oath, like Mr. Brennan, to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, have a duty to know or do a due diligence effort to know who those enemies are. And when they stand up and wittingly or unwittingly support our enemies by giving them access, using the color of their office to provide aid and comfort or aid and abet the enemy, that is a criminal act, and it needs to be addressed.
John, years ago, I interviewed the former FBI translator, Sybil Edmonds. Did you ever have you ever met her or talked to her?
I have not. Okay. I know of her.
Okay, I believe her first name is pronounced Sybil. Sybil Edmonds, and she was she speaks Turkish and Farsi, and she worked at the FBI as a translator, and she made astounding accusations after 9/11 about things that she had translated before and after 9/11. And then later she came out and she said that that Turkish intelligence was working aggressively in Washington and bribing high-level members of the Congress and government agencies, and that American nuclear secrets were being passed to intelligence agents. I read this in the London papers. I don't recall ever reading one story in an American newspaper, and that story just disappeared. And so this counterintelligence operation by foreign powers is very pervasive inside Washington. And what little bit surfaces quickly gets squashed. And the general American public knows nothing about this stuff going on. But it's like we've got termites inside, you know, under the foundation of the nation, and it's eating away at our constitutional framework. I don't know how long it can withstand a termite infestation this great. What are your concerns about the long-term effect of Islamic intelligence agencies infiltrating U.S. government agencies?
I will say across the board, the counterintelligence operations against the intelligence operations against the United States are significant, from Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Turkey, and many others. I know we, and just I'll give you a couple of examples and then go direct to your question, is, you know, we have examples of these Muslim Brotherhood entities doing surveillance and counter-surveillance in and around the Washington, D.C. area. When we had a case that I worked on of a guy who worked for Fairfax County, Virginia, as a school bus driver, who was a jihadi, and because of some comments he made on a bus that got to the students, it went to the police, who were guys we were working with, and we ended up opening an investigation. When we raided his home in Virginia, we found a list of all of our vehicles, license plates, you know, color, model, make of the vehicle. And obviously that is factual evidence of counter-surveillance. And that's just a local one-case issue.
So not only were you watching him, he was watching you.
He wasn't, but somebody was. The
right
people that were supporting him were.
Yes.
And what's important is that is exactly what the Muslim, we know from the Muslim Brotherhood's own doctrine, that's what they do. That they there are three things that we know they have in the United States, and we know that they've been here since, the Brotherhood's been here since the early 1960s. But, excuse me, we know that we have a recording of a senior Muslim Brotherhood leader in the United States in 1981 speaking in Missouri to a group of Muslim Brotherhood leaders, and this came out of the El Barassi search in 2004 in Annandale, Virginia, the FBI raid. where we uncovered the archives of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. And as you know, much of that evidence, much of that information became evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial. Well, this speech that was on an audio cassette that got translated and transcribed for the court, three things specifically came out of this speech. Number one, that the Muslim Brotherhood has their special section, which is their military wing, in the United States, and those are the military guys who kill people and blow things up, that they have training camps here in the United States, and this is 1981. That's over 30 years ago. But they also mentioned that they have their interior security, their security for themselves, and that's to monitor, and they specifically says to monitor the FBI, the CIA. Are they watching us? Are they not watching us? So we already know, but way back then, that's just a part of how they operate. So we shouldn't be surprised when they do it. But we know this is going on. We know that this is across the board. I believe that American counterintelligence is broken, and catastrophically so. And so when we talk about the Saudis or the Turks, they are aggressively working in Washington, D.C., and in the United States, and not just in the D.C. area. They are aggressively doing these operations, as I mentioned, about getting members of Congress overseas. I don't know, because I don't have a factual basis to say so, if this woman's claims about Turkish officials bribing American officials, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's certainly within the realm of how their intelligence operates. And since we do know that their intelligence officers are here in the D.C. area, in the greater D.C. area, it would not surprise me that they've attempted that. I don't know if they've been successful, but obviously the fact that they're able to take U.S. congressmen and state representatives overseas on these junkets, and the only reason for them to do that is, again, that is an influence operation.
Well, she actually named former House Speaker Dennis Hastert as being in the pocket of Turkish intelligence. And shortly after her article appeared in the London papers, Mr. Hastert announced he was going to retire and would no longer serve as Speaker of the House. So he was quietly exited out of the picture. But no charges were ever brought against him, no investigations. You know, John, also, you know, I was thinking, you know, Barack Obama told the New York Times in 2007 that the Arabic prayer call is the sweetest sound on earth. And that made my hair stand up when I read it in 2007, because I thought about the possibility of a secret closet Muslim entering the White House. And I am of the opinion that Mr. Obama is I don't want to put you on the spot as a law enforcement man, but my opinion is Barack Obama is a foreign agent. I believe this is his administration is the product of a successful foreign penetration of the country. And what we have now is that they're putting in place a man to run the CIA who is converted to Islam. And it's Mr. Obama who supports the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and is giving them billions of dollars of U.S. tax money that we don't have. We have to borrow from China or whatever to give it to the Muslim Brotherhood. And this just goes on and on and on and on. And it's like over a period of a couple more years, it's like our government is quietly, the federal government is quietly being taken over and changed into a pro-Islamic, anti-Christian entity. And it's frightening. So
I would just, in response to that, I would say this. You know, I get that question a lot when I speak, whether it's to members of Congress or a four-star general or just a group of citizens or law enforcement, military folks, whatever it is. And, you know, my response is the same. Again, I try to keep it to when I give a presentation or even when I'm just talking to you here, I try to keep it, well, I do keep it to things that are factual, that I can show, that I can take this conversation you and I are having, I could take into a court of law and prove each sentence that's coming out of my mouth with evidence. Because that, while it upsets some people That doesn't bother me so long as I know I'm speaking the truth.
And one of those things that you can prove is that Mr. Brennan physically was in Mecca to observe a religious ceremony that is prohibited to be seen by non-Muslims. And that's a significant event.
Right. Non-Muslims, no matter what their rank, title, or structure, are not allowed in Mecca or Medina.
But Mr. Correct. Brennan was there. He saw. He was there during the Hajj. He witnessed it.
And so there's a fact for your audience to add as a data point. And I can tell you, no matter what your position is, if you are not a Muslim, you are not allowed into those cities.
So supporters of Mr. Brennan can't argue, listen, he was a high-level U.S. intelligence officer.
Nope.
The Saudis took him there. They wanted. Yep. He was allowed to witness it, even though he was a non-Muslim.
And I know senior government officials who have asked while stationed in Riyadh, hey, I'd like to, by people they know very, very well, who have the kind of juice with the royal family to get them to Mecca, and they've said, yes, of course, I will take you, but all you need to do is say the Shahada and we can go. And of course these men have said, well, no, I'm not doing that. And then they're like, well, of course then you cannot go. So that is true. That is true that you cannot. It doesn't matter your position. Non-Muslims are absolutely forbidden into those cities. And I want to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
or your comment about the president and this administration. I do not have specific evidence that 100% guarantees that this president is Muslim. And my first comment is, I don't think it matters. You just said what does matter. I look at his policies and his executive orders, and without exception, they are pro-Muslim Brotherhood, pro-Hamas, anti-foundational principles of this country, anti-Israel, and that is absolutely clear. He has made a significant effort to protect known members of Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood inside this government, to promote them to positions. Mohammed Majid, the president of the Islamic Society of North America, not only advises Secretary of State previously, Mrs. Clinton, and her staff and his directors do as well. ISNA was personally thanked by Senator Richard Durbin for providing input to their hearing on the civil rights of Muslims in the United States. Mr. Mohammed Majid sits on the Homeland Security Advisory Committee, and on and on. And we could go over many men, many other individuals inside advising Secretary Napolitano, working with the FBI, working with the CIA, working inside the Pentagon. It is phenomenal. And these are men that by name you can identify as being either Hamas or Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, John, so, you know the old saying, if it waddles like a duck, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yes, and there's certainly a lot of, not circumstantial evidence, of data points, facts that we know, even out of the president's own mouth. I mean, when he did that interview with George Stephanopoulos and he said, my Muslim faith, and Mr. Stephanopoulos had to correct him and say, do you mean your Christian faith? And he said, oh, yes, yes, that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I
let it slip.
As an FBI agent, I spent 12 and a half years in the Bureau, I look at that and I say, when you line all these things up, it at a minimum, it means here's an individual who is significantly sympathetic to the cause of our enemies. And that is problematic, and that's putting it mildly. When you look at the fact that he and members of his administration say things that are factually incorrect about the founding principles, about the Constitution, that are simply untrue, factually untrue, like when I mentioned his national security advisor, Dennis McDonough, when he spoke at the Adams Center in Virginia, a Muslim Brotherhood Center, by the way, in Virginia, he said that Thomas Jefferson held the first iftar dinner at the White House. And that's a lie. That's not true.
They're rewriting history.
Yes. I mean, these are things. So you have to ask yourself, are all these people, are they grossly ignorant? And maybe in some cases, you know, are they so PC as to get to a place where everything that comes out of their mouths and the policies they create are destructive to America? And if that's the truth, and they are, then they are absolutely not upholding their oath of office and need to be removed. And then the question is, what do we do about all this? And that, I believe, is the question that has got to be addressed, because wishing this away and hoping that it doesn't get worse, you know, hope's not a strategy. We have to actually, there has to be work at the ground level to take this on and to end this.
Well, we're going to let that be the final word. My guest today, former FBI agent trained in counterterrorism, John Guandolo. John, I appreciate you being on the program, appreciate your bravery in speaking out, and encourage you to continue telling Americans what is happening in this country, in Washington. And we thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And if folks want to contact me or get more information, they can just go to understandingthethreat.com. And I really do appreciate you giving me the time to share this with your audience.
All right, understandingthethreat.com, John Guandolo. Once again, you heard explosive information on True News. You heard news that Fox News and CNN are simply not allowed to report. You heard a former FBI agent trained in counterterrorism state on this program categorically that he was told by U.S. intelligence operatives who were present in Saudi Arabia that CIA nominee John Brennan was recruited by Saudi intelligence and led into a conversion to Islam. By the way, I want you to know that that former agent, Mr. Guandolo, is a believer in Jesus Christ. The American government has been infiltrated and compromised at the highest levels. And if you think the Constitution of the USA can't be replaced by Islamic Sharia law, well, you're really living in a bubble of unreality. Why is Homeland Security stockpiling billions of rounds of ammo? You and I are the targets, not the Islamic terrorists. It's you and me who are considered the enemies of this regime. The man in the White House, in my opinion, is a Saudi spy who is secretly working to convert the USA to Islam. He bows to the King of Saudi Arabia because the King of Saudi Arabia is his boss. What I'm saying right now on international radio is dangerous. I'm speaking out because our way of life is at stake. There is a clash of civilizations taking place right now, and our children and grandchildren's lives depend on you and me taking a stand now for Jesus Christ. Now, here at True News, we have big plans for 2013, and we need thousands of new partners to join this ministry. Not a year from now or 2 years from now, we need them to join now. And I'm inviting you to make a pledge to God. Make a vow to God that you will support True News every month throughout this year. You can support us at TrueNews.com or at PayPal using support@TrueNews.com, or send a letter, P.O. Box 690069, Vero Beach, Florida 32969.